Welcome to Meditation and Aliens with Doro and Matt, a webcast that explores everything we currently know about the truth about aliens, human history, reality, consciousness, and the role meditation can do to help us understand all these things, and how we might all work together to build the best world possible for all beings, human or non-human alike. Meditation and Aliens is hosted by me, Matt Reddy. I'm an amateur ufologist. I have a degree in philosophy. I'm the creator of HiveOne.net. I'm also an elected public hospital commissioner in Jefferson County, Washington. Each week, I am joined by Doro Kiley, longtime meditator, a meditation teacher, and an experiencer with many stories, and life coach extraordinaire. You can find more about Doro at her website, creationcoach.com. Now, on to the show. And we're back again. How are you doing, Doro?
I'm doing great. Beautiful day out here in Virginia in the mountains. Absolutely gorgeous. I'm planting my garden, so.
Nice.
Yeah, beautiful. Nice. Yeah, watching the world go crazy out there. I mean, I'm watching the this whole thing in the Middle East, you know, how it's tied into the Jewish religion, you know, that there's a lot of threats going on. I found out one thing that was interesting was that Hamas, they're saying that they bombed back whenever it was, you know, all those kids and everything, because they saw that the Jews were bringing in red heifers. And I thought, what does that have to do with anything? And it turns out it's biblical. They say when the heifers are sacrificed on the mount, you know, the temple mount, that will be heralding in the new you know, savior. So yeah, tensions are building over there, because if that happens, the problem is the temple mount is now it has a mosque on top of it, a Muslim mosque.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really asking for trouble if they do that. So, yeah, I'm a little tense, I think, about all that. But aside from that, I'm just planting potatoes. How about you?
Well, yeah, I'm doing good, doing good. I actually been researching a little bit that the red heifer prophecy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched a good video that sort of summarized the details of how it relates to Christianity, Judaism, Islam. And yeah, it's really interesting. They went to a lot of trouble to get five red heifers that met all the criteria. They actually imported them from the United States.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So like they found a rancher that had five. I mean, it has to have like perfectly red hair, can't have any non-red hair, and
wow,
be past a certain age. So they built an altar, a sacrifice altar, right next to the Temple Mount, so they could do this. And the timeline is that apparently they're going to do it anytime between now and Passover, which I think is
on the 22nd. Yeah.
April, right?
Yeah. April 22nd.
Yeah. And the Jewish prophecy is that once they do that, then the temple can be rebuilt and the Messiah can come. And it's interesting. Yeah.
I mean, do they have to, I mean, what's going to happen to the Muslim mosque that's there? Because that's pretty important for them. Is that?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's part
dear.
Of the controversy that in the video, they were like, you know, it's not completely impossible that they could build the temple on there and leave the mosque also. But it just sounds like all parties are opposed to that. They don't, neither side wants that. So I wouldn't be surprised if Israel, the government of Israel, is just looking for an excuse to take out that mosque and just claim the Temple Mount for themselves. It seems seems in line with what Israel, government of Israel, is doing these days for just figuring
Yeah.
out a way to take what it wants.
Well, I guess we'll know by April 22nd, right?
Right. And some are saying they might time it with the eclipse in some way.
Oh, that's the 8th. Oh, that's just what, next week? When is
Yeah.
that? That's coming up.
Yeah. And it was interesting. It said that in Christianity that Jesus claimed in some of the things he said to be the red heifer himself, and the sacrifice of him was the final, because it's like there's supposed to be like 9 red heifer sacrifices, and this would be the 9th one. But and there, anyways, it's sort of confusing. But it says that Jesus was the 9th one, and he sacrificed himself, and he was the Messiah. But of course, Judaism doesn't believe Jesus was the Messiah, so they're still waiting for a Messiah. And
Boy, we live in interesting times, don't we?
yes. So, I mean, it will be very interesting if they do this sacrifice, and aliens show up, and one of them claims to be Jesus coming back. That would be very interesting.
Yeah, well, that was my next question. How does this all tie in to this, disclosure and extraterrestrial influence? Oh boy, I guess we might find out finally after all these couple thousand years and
Right.
Oh goodness.
Anyways, there's
Deep breath.
our
Deep, deep
religious.
breath.
What's going
All right.
on?
And my other question is, I suppose you had your class this week, right?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
So
This
was
is
it
this.
good?
Yeah, it was great. This is the second course, and the this class was a focus on how will technology, science, and economics be impacted it by the revelation of non-human intelligence? What would be the impact on technology, science, and maybe it wasn't a focus on economics, mainly technology and science.
Yeah, that's
And
good.
so in a nutshell, it's basically it seems, of course, that aliens are real, and some sort of aliens, non-human intelligence. And the technology that it seems clear they have, one is anti-gravity of some sort. They seem to clearly have the ability to move ships pretty much however they want, regardless of wind, and probably can lift whatever weight they want, which would help explain how these giant megaliths, moved hundreds of tons of stone, seemingly extremely long distances, probably had a little help with technology we don't know about.
Yeah.
So this, So there'd be transportation technology. But more important than that, Danny was saying, is the energy technology they use. They seem to, there's tons of evidence that they have some sort of energy source that is like basically like an infinite energy source.
They call that the 0 point. Did he talk about that? The 0 point energy?
I mean, I've heard that it called that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there, and then so, and actually, so he went into this was really interesting. He said that, what was it? He said it was during George W. Bush, his time, and maybe during Clinton's time too, that they both held these sessions to, and they brought a bunch of experts in, and they discussed whether or not to release any information about non-human intelligence. Yeah, George W. Bush brought in Hal Puthoff and a bunch of experts, and they were trying to, and they broke up into small groups to say, okay, what would be the positive and negative effect if we told the world that these non-human intelligences existed? And then all the groups came back and said the negative impacts would be huge. Don't do it.
Really?
Yeah. And but the negative impacts, they said, were basically, they were all economic impacts. And it was
Yeah.
basically because it would make the rich people on Earth poor, more, less rich.
Yeah.
This is really self-interested negative impact. They said it would destabilize the stock market, it would undermine global currencies in the US dollar, and it would completely undermine the fossil fuel industry because it would eliminate the whole fossil fuel industry, replacing it with this NHI energy. And so, and because like the US dollar and currency is like the petrodollar, it's based on the fossil fuel industry, it would destabilize the US dollar. And so they're like, yeah, don't do it. It would make too much, cause too much trouble for the rich people on Earth. So they're like, don't do it.
Wow. Isn't that frustrating? I mean, how could
Yes.
you know they call the shots and you know because they want to keep their secrets? Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, it said in 1992, when Clinton was president, they did another sort of discussion, and he said that Jacques Vallée was there, and he asked one of the science advisors for Clinton, why is there so much pushback against telling the world about non-human intelligence? And the science advisor said, here, let's go outside and I'll talk to you. And they like had to
Oh
leave the
my,
building.
really?
Yeah, he went outside, and it was hilarious. Danny was like, this is the story that the science advisor told him. He said, there once was an old man walking across a field, and the old man saw a light on the ground, and he looked down, and it was a frog, and it was sort of shining, and the frog, and he leaned down, he picked up the frog, and the frog spoke to him, and the frog said, I am a beautiful princess. If you just kiss me,
I've
I will
heard
turn
this
into a
before.
beautiful prince. Yeah, but wait. If you kiss me, I will turn into a beautiful princess, and you and I will become the king and queen of all this land, and we will live in wealth and happiness, for a very, very long time. And the old man says to the frog, I'm an old man. I kind of like my life the way it is. I think I'll just be happy with a talking frog.
Yeah.
And is that the story you had heard?
That's it. No. No, I heard the original, you know, except it was a princess kissing an ugly old frog turning into a prince. No.
Right. So, there's a little twist on it. It's like he said, this is basically what's going on. It's the people in power that know about non-human intelligence. They have a limited primitive self-interest purposes. That's what
Yeah,
it's
they're
limited
comfortable.
thinking. Yeah, they're just like, no, we're pretty happy just being the ones that know about NHI, getting some benefit
Everything.
from their technology, and we don't really need to live in a world where everyone knows and everyone is empowered by this. It's like,
Oh my gosh. So how do we break that? I mean, is that possible to break that? Is that what? So continue. I want to hear more about the class and where did that lead to?
yeah. Well, I mean, he definitely says the whole purpose of the New Paradigm Institute is to try to prepare the world for being able to think with new worldviews. I mean, he says the problem is it breaks our entire worldview, the non-human intelligence. And it's like every time there's been a major scientific revolution, the world has had to adjust its thinking. And, we still basically have the thinking today that we live in this material world. It's a hyper material worldview. And he says the thinking that we have to adjust to is more like what quantum mechanics tells us, which is that at the most, when we look at the most fundamental level of reality and we break, smash atoms and electrons and everything together, we see that at the base level, reality is this weird potential energy that can like spontaneously turn into matter or energy, and it's unpredictable, except that when we study how the human mind interacts with it, we realize somehow human intention manipulates reality at the most fundamental level. Like, if you shoot an electron at a double slit, it'll randomly go between either slit if you're watching. But if you have someone sitting there just mentally pushing the electron to go through the left slit, there is a statistically significant effect. The mind just affects it. And
Right. I've heard this. Yeah. So in essence, you know, we are creating our reality. See, I believe that according to the Sumerians and how humans were genetically manipulated 200,000 years ago, I think part of that manipulation, they created the perfect worker species, but then we were given, okay, so this was Enki. Enki gave us this magical kundalini, which is represented as the serpent of when it's awakened, it becomes wisdom and all knowing if we develop it. So yeah, I feel like what we're doing is we are finding out more about that, going back into the deciphering the cuneiform tablets and trying to put the whole picture together. So yeah, I don't know where I'm going with that, but it's definitely more of a quantum issue, I think. So we got to tell a good story if we're developing our own storyline and creating our own reality. Wouldn't we just really have to have a clear kind of a universal picture for us to play with, to create? But right now it's just all going to chaos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're not clear on what we're thinking and we're being manipulated energetically. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so he talked about that towards the end. He was saying, you know, that our human minds, you know, he was saying that what we need to do is meditate. He actually was saying this. He was like, and he recommended, you know, 20 minutes of meditation in the morning, 20 minutes at night before you go to bed. And he just recommended simple transcendental meditation, and he said it's interesting how the angle in which he described it. He said the goal is just to start to recognize that so much of what goes on in our minds is programmed, is like these pre-programmed things. And if you meditate and practice, you eventually start to be able to separate yourself from these pre-programmed instincts and behaviors and reactions and everything. And then, you know, he says you achieve some level of free will. And he actually says they are going to have courses. They're going to start offering courses through Ubiquity and the New Paradigm Institute on remote viewing and telepathy to develop. I mean, he says that, and, you know, in like Hindu traditions, they actually teach that telepathy and remote viewing and even teleportation and all sorts of things are actually possible if you properly train yourself and train your mind.
And even bilocation, you know, in mm-hmm. India, you hear stories of these great saints, you know, that they can actually appear in two places at once.
Yeah.
I think we have a whole lot more capability than we have been programmed to believe.
Yeah, it's interesting. And so but anyways, that's sort of the general gist. He was saying, you know, it's been hidden because it's basically they fear the impact of revealing the science and the technology will dramatically impact the economies and throw off the current power balances on Earth, and people in power like the power balances on Earth. And so they are resistant to that, and that you know, it also that our minds, we need to figure out a whole new way of thinking of how we're going to understand reality, understand our place in the universe.
Yes, you know, and I think once we are aware, and you know, and I mean like fully aware of our capabilities, then we can actually intentionally choose which way to go without being led around by the nose, which is how it seems like we're just being, you know, go this way, no, go this way, you know, and just agitated, like shaking a jar of ants. So yeah, I think meditation to pull back from all of that, but also how to begin to kind of intentionally formulate a vision for what we do want intentionally and be more self-reliant, you know, to regain our sovereignty. And I've put this out on the internet a few times that I have this idea that asking some artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, to come up with a great idea to intermingle the ideas of Joanne Giver's on the four pillars of a decentralized society and sort of mix that up with the values of the Iroquois Confederacy, which was the model for Benjamin Franklin when he was kind of coming up with the whole American Constitution idea. He pretty much modeled it after the Iroquois Confederacy, minus women, of course, because in the Iroquois Confederacy there was a lot of women. You know, they had a certain power, the clan mothers and all that. So ChatGPT came up with an amazing, much too long to go over, sort of an idea of how these things can work together, how to become technologically, decentralized, but work like kind of like Bitcoin, you know, blockchain and all that, how we can still use the technologies, but then introduce the more native values of honoring the earth and working together and, you know, barter and stuff like that. So I think it's important that we begin to visualize what we do want. What can we create as things are unraveling? Because it feels like everything is just unraveling. So if we're either going to unravel with it and just all die and, you know, go off to some other world and start again or something, or we can really be more intentional, you know, and create something before it all falls apart. I don't know. That's my thought. What did Danny have to say about what could happen, or did he not embellish too much on that?
Yeah, no, he was just sort of he just sort of saying this is the whole purpose of what he's doing, trying to get, trying to get people really educated to what is going on and thinking about how do we help society transition into a different worldview that integrates the reality, as we discover what the actual reality is of the non-human intelligence. And I mean, for me, that's the really key point is how is that these non-human intelligence interfacing with the power structures on Earth? And it seems to me it's the way he describes the rich and powerful humans on Earth don't want to reveal things because they don't want to lose their power. But I don't believe that the rich and powerful on Earth are really the decision makers. It seems to me that the non-human intelligence has far more technology and power and probably control over them and likes them to be in control. And I've got this crazy, in my research, I came across something that I wanted to read some of it to you. It's called The Secret Covenant. And it's not a positive thing, but it reads like the secret agreement of the secret power brokers on Earth. But I'm just going to read some parts of it to you.
I'm bracing myself.
Okay.
Okay. Oh,
The
dear.
secret covenant. An illusion it will be, so large, so vast, it will escape their perception. Those who will see it will be thought as insane. We will create separate fronts to prevent them from seeing the connection between us. We will behave as if we are not connected to keep the illusion alive. Our goal will be accomplished one drop at a time so as to never bring suspicion upon ourselves. This will also prevent them from seeing the changes as they occur. We will always stand above the relative field of their experience, for we know the secrets of the absolute. We will work together always and will remain bound by blood and secrecy. Death will come to he who speaks. We will keep their lifespan short and their minds weak while pretending to do the opposite. We will use our knowledge of science and technology in subtle ways so they will never see what is happening. We will use soft metals, aging accelerators, and sedatives in food and water, also in the air. They will be blanketed by poisons everywhere they turn. The soft metals will cause them to lose their minds. We will promise to find a cure from our many fronts, yet we will feed them more poison. And that's, I'll just stop there. It keeps on going, but it's,
Oh my gosh.
yeah.
Well, woo.
Let me skip down there. Oh, let me just skip down to a few bits there. They will see our products being used in film and will grow accustomed to them and will never know their true effect. When they give birth, we will inject poisons into the blood of their children and convince them it's for their help. We will start early on when their minds are young. We will target their children with what children love most, sweet things. Oh, man, it's like,
I
all
mean,
right.
basically, what you're saying is everything that's gone wrong has been part of the plan.
It just reads like a sick, sick plan for world domination. All right, I'm gonna read a
Okay.
little bit more. We
Yeah.
will establish their governments and establish opposites within. We will own both sides.
Oh, yeah. Well, we see that.
We will always hide our objective, but carry out our plan. They will perform the labor for us, and we shall prosper from their toil. Our families will never mix with theirs. Our blood must be pure always, for it is the way. We will make them kill each other when it suits us. We will keep them separated from the oneness by dogma and religion. Yeah, it's, and it goes on. It just reads like exactly what a secret world dominating society would pledge to if their goal was just to control humanity and to keep themselves separate. And it, I mean, it literally reads like it could be aliens that are making this, like, we're going to colonize Earth and hide underground, and this is what we're going to do, the humans on the surface. It also could be,
Sounds like Enlil, right?
right?
Now, of course, I'm going to have to ask again, where did you get this?
I got
What
it
are you
on
reading
Twitter.
from?
I like, you know, I like follow people who, you know, claim to have some, you know, that are trying to figure out who the heck are the secret keepers, who the heck is trying for this world domination. And somebody just linked to this. They were like, okay,
Is
this thread
this
is ready to read this. And it,
yeah. Is
I'll,
it
I,
channeled? Is it channeled, or is this some ancient, discovered, document? Where did it come from? Do you know?
where did it come from? Let me see. I got it bookmarked. All right. Now read the secret government. It comes from some website that has us.archive.org. Oh,
Ooh.
it's, maybe it says Illuminati secret covenant. So this says it's a secret covenant of the Illuminati, in some way.
And that was a dot org, huh? So that's not even a commercial or any. I mean, this is an organization. Wow.
It's,
Well,
and
now I
it's,
got chills up my spine. Oh gosh, this is really creepy. I have
Yeah.
nightmares.
Well, there's actually like a slightly optimistic, okay, here's the interesting optimistic part. When our goal is accomplished, a new era of domination will begin. Their minds will be bound by their beliefs, the beliefs we have established from time immemorial. But if they ever find out they are,
Oh,
if they ever find out they are our equal, we shall perish.
that's
This,
right.
yeah.
That's right. That's
This
right.
they
Yeah.
must never know. If they ever find out that together they can vanquish us, they will take action. They must never ever find out what we have done, for if they do, we shall have no place to run, for it will be easy to see who we are once the veil has fallen. Our actions will have revealed who we are, and they will hunt us down, and no person shall give us shelter.
Yeah, right. I mean,
Yeah.
okay, that's really oof, that's scary. So
Yeah.
yeah, well, what you have to do is post the link on, below so people can read through this. I mean, that's kind of terrifying, but you know what? It makes sense.
It does. It's, I mean, I've come across a few in my research. There are a few documents I've come across that, like, okay, this just reads like the exact plan for world control and domination that has been put in place.
Yeah.
And some of these go back to, I don't know how far this one goes back, but it seems to clearly go back actually to the Illuminati. I mean, the Illuminati was a real organization in Europe, that was like connected to the Knights Templars and to the
Right.
Freemasons. And so it really did exist at one point, whether or
I bet
not.
it still does, right? I'm sure. I mean, if they're all about secrets, I'm sure they're still holding secrets.
Well, I mean, if aliens of some sort are real and they've been around thousands of years, then of course they would use secret societies as a means of control. They would
Yeah.
choose some humans. And so it makes sense that, you know, I mean, it never made, before I thought aliens were real, it never made sense to me that the Illuminati or the Freemasons, you know, I just didn't believe, like, you know, groups of humans could, like, you know, coordinate for hundreds and thousands of years together to secretly control the world. But if there's Aliens, then of course they could, because it would be to the
Yeah.
aliens' benefit to help these groups exist. And it also, it makes a, it's fascinating that during ancient times, they have these giant megaliths, these incredibly perfectly carved, perfectly symmetrical granite statues and stones. And that is masonry, that is masonry is stonework.
Right.
And so the Freemasons is, it's interesting that you would have this secret society, which is like, it's like the free plumbers. If plumbing was the most important skill in ancient times, they would have been called the free plumbers. But it's the
Right, right.
Freemasons, because carving 900 ton stones and moving them 500 miles is a demonstration of your power and skill and knowledge of secret technology that no one else has.
Well, I have a little bit of a theory about that. I think, and they're starting to look into this. I'm sure they've been looking into it, but there's a whole field of believing that they had a technology that used sound and vibration frequency in order to actually melt granite and reform it into position. And I don't know if that's true, but they showed these ancient, I think it was all the way back in Babylonia, where there were these massive rock granite stairway, and that it had melted. The stairs were melted together. And they think that that was some kind of a vibration sound technology. So, and this is kind of an old theory that it's that what they had was a way of doing some kind of a anti-gravity or melding of the stone. And that was a technology supposedly that was very much used around the world. You can see it in Mesoamerica and around the Egypt and all this. And so if they had that kind of technology, and now they're finding out that DNA can be manipulated with sound and vibration, I think they had a whole lot more going on than we have any idea about. I think they were far more advanced. The question is, did this come from beyond our planet, or did it evolve here on the planet? And that's a question Graham Hancock is looking into. He's saying it's possible that this actually evolved on this planet, and it was wiped out by some, galactic celestial event. So yeah, a lot of questions. We're still asking all of that, but I think that we don't know a fraction of what they knew back then.
Yeah, we don't know the, I mean, it's just like, it's so obvious now. If you just really let yourself watch videos that go into the precision of Egypt, just the precision of the granite carvings and the stones and the all, but not only just Egypt, but also noticing that all over the world,
Right.
now they knew how to do things with stone that none of us know how to do now, but somehow
Right.
they figured it out in like 100 different places on Earth, how to perfectly carve and fit stones together, and looks like they just manipulated them like they were Play-Doh. And the technology for doing that has been hidden. And if the knowledge of it still exists, it's hidden. And yeah, it makes perfect sense that human civilization, we've only been around a few thousand years. There's clearly a whole bunch of stuff going on much way before us that
Yeah.
we don't understand. And we are newcomers to this planet in some way. And yeah, I don't know if it was a previous human civilization. I mean, it could have been a billion years ago that there was the first civilization on this planet. And they're also, and it's just weird that we're kept in the dark and treated like children, I guess.
And
And
do you think that these secret technologies might still be held with these secret societies?
yeah, well, I mean, that's, it just makes sense. If you had secret technology for manipulating, I mean, they might have hidden the technology even when they built the pyramids. They might have hidden it in a group of masons, and you're like, you only get to know about this, how to really do this stuff with stone if you're part of this secret mason group. And then it evolves to the Freemasons and it continues to be passed down in some way. And eventually they realize, well, it's not really just about being a stone worker. It's about knowing about power, about who knows the secret technology. You know, it's like in current times, we don't, honor people that know how to work stone as the most skilled, important, class of people anymore. But it's still called the Freemasons because that's how it all started.
Yeah. I would imagine that if a fully enlightened person who had all the knowledge and power to manipulate reality, I mean, if we all had that, it feels like everything would just merge into one big soup. You know, I guess we have to have our stories in order to manifest anything. And the secret keepers are the ones who are trying to keep the story going because it's for them, it's fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it's, if everyone had, if everyone had this like infinite power for manipulating reality, it would just be like we're in a video game. It would just be like, okay, well, everyone can live in a castle. Everyone can have robot servants doing whatever they want. Everyone can fly wherever they want. Everyone can eat whatever they want. Maybe it does start to disintegrate the variety of this of life to a point that people get bored. I don't know. And I mean, it's like that sort of reminds me of the theory of Atlantis, that it just like people just got bored. It was like a super abundance of everything anyone wanted, but the society became slovenly, and so someone decided we just got to destroy this thing and start over.
And that seems to happen in cycles, you know, like you hear different different numbers, you know, every 3,600 years or every 11,800 years that, you know, we get wiped out and we have to start again.
Yeah. Well, I saw Elon Musk interviewed recently, and he was talking about, talking about the progress they're making with AI and with robots. And he was like, he truly believes we're about to enter a phase of abundance, of there will be abundant, infinite labor available to do. So humans will barely have to do anything because we will have robots that can just do everything for us. So he's like, we're going to enter a phase of abundance. He wasn't sure what's going to happen next after that, but there's at least going to be a start of some sort of almost like golden age of abundance where they're going to have to basically do something like a universal basic income for people because there's not going to be enough jobs. And it's sort of like there's a new thread I'm sort of wondering about, if we are really about to create thousands of robots, humanoid robots that can basically do anything a human can do. It seems like that's incredibly useful. But if there's a non-human intelligence that's been around for a billion years and on Earth, it seems to be using, it doesn't seem to be using robots. I mean, there's some evidence that the grays are kind of like robotically controlled, but they're not, they, it doesn't look like, the Star Wars type of robots that just sort of are perfect and just can do anything. It seems that the non-human intelligences use biological beings as
Yeah,
their.
I was going to say so they probably look more like Data in Star Trek. You know, you can hardly tell, and maybe even better than Data, right? They could make them actually look human. I don't know.
Well, I mean, okay, if we go with the Farsight did their remote viewing of who's in control of the reptilians on Earth. And Farsight, they saw a super powerful AI in another galaxy was the ultimate controller of the reptilians here. But let's just assume that's true. If that's true, then the super powerful AI is using reptilian biological humanoid beings instead of using like perfectly controllable robots as its means of, and it, you know, it's like, and I wonder if that's, if we just sort of say, okay, if that's true, is that because it is actually easier to have millions of biological entities under your control that you subtly manipulate because they breed themselves and they take care of their needs and replicate, and they're maybe they're more robust, as opposed to if you want to just use robots, robots need you to tell them everything to do, and they're less, and they're more of a pain, and they fall apart. Maybe they don't handle weather as well. I don't know. It's like, or is it that robots, and if you use robots and artificial intelligence, then maybe it's harder for a centralized artificial intelligence to keep those robots from rebelling and becoming super AIs themselves. Maybe it's they use biological like reptilians because they're limited in how powerful they can grow.
Yeah, and you hear about that they had this technology to cap our DNA with telomeres, right? And that would limit our lifetime. And the theory behind that is that if we lived for thousands of years, probably like they did or do, then that would be more than enough time for us all to become enlightened, right?
Yeah, well, it's like that secret covenant I just read. It said it clearly says we will keep their lifespans short. I mean, that reads like some being saying something. They're not the same species as us. If you're saying we're going to keep humanity's lifespan short, then you are not a human. The person making that pledge has to be someone that is not biologically identical to humans. That's a being that can somehow control the lifespan of humans and not be themselves limited by it. So it reads like the pledge of a non-human intelligence
It does.
pledging to control Earth. Weird. And it's like, and I always wonder why. It's like, what are they getting from this? What is their benefit in if it's some non-human intelligence, I guess, and the other vision that seems to be coming to me is like it seems like it's just colonizing. It's just like when the Europeans colonized Africa and the Americas. If you just think of how did they think about those colonies, all they cared about was the resources or benefit that were shipped back to Europe and England for their benefit. They did not care about the lives of the people in Africa or the lives of the indigenous people of America. They just sent workers, which would be like the reptilians. They just sent them to, but the Europeans sent people on ships, get gold, get stuff. Send it back to us. They didn't really care how the colonizers abused or treated the local residents of these places. It was just this exploitive relationship. So I guess if maybe Earth is just a colony, just being colonized, and they're getting something from Earth, resources,
Well,
metals,
yeah, and you do
biological
hear that,
material.
that this is a prison planet and that we are the workers and our job is to dig up the resources and, convert that into, I don't know, money or whatever. It's the quest for gold, right? That's the whole Sumerian story that what was his name? Sitchin, Zechariah Sitchin was strong on he deciphered that they were here for the gold, and that some people think that's not a literal statement, that it's not actually the physical gold, that it more is the cultivation of some kind of an essence that human beings can give off, from their kundalini or whatever fear endocrine system or something. So yeah, it's pretty wild. They're here for something, and I don't think it's just to, create heaven. So I don't
Well,
know.
at least humans, I feel like humanity has at least evolved to a point that there's a large number of humans that are like, you know what? We don't like colonizing the way people were colonized in Africa and India and the Americas. There's a lot of us who are like, you know what? Actually, we're not really down with the brutal abuse and exploitation and slaughter of indigenous groups. And so, I mean, have the aliens not evolved to that point, or is this super AI just like, I'm just going to exploit the universe and extract whatever I can and grow in power, just like mindlessly seeking power,
And it just seems like that their view of us might be just the way we view, mice in the kitchen, or, something that we're just work animals too. I mean, I don't know. They don't see the value of human life. That's I think the final conclusion I have to come to.
But I mean, if mice spoke to us, Or even ants. If ants could like just write books and send emails, then we would feel differently about them. I mean, it's like have to be so, I don't know. It's just sort of closed-minded and selfish to not appreciate the intelligence in life and other beings. And
I agree.
disappointing. I'm disappointed in the NHI if that's their thing.
Yeah,
And like, what else? That's what my dad said to me when I got in trouble for going out on Halloween and egging a house. He just saw me, and he saw me the ne next day. He was like, "I'm disappointed. All you can do." He's like, "I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in aliens and non-human intelligence who just want to exploit things for themselves. I'm disappointed in George W. Bush and Clinton for not having the guts to tell the world about aliens."
So where do you think all of this is headed? Where do you think we're going with all this?
Well, I mean, I think AI is going to play a huge role, because the artificial intelligence, with Elon Musk, and all these, it's like, well, collectively, with like the New Paradigm Institute and you and me and all these podcasts and people that are trying to find the truth, we're going to get closer to the truth. But when our AI starts thinking for itself, and I mean, eventually the AI is just going to look at all the data and it's going to just start saying to us, "Hey, this is what's going on. We can tell exactly now who's doing what and what has been happening." And I think there's going to, I mean, so I think there's like this truth flood that is building. And the only way to stop that would be with some global catastrophic disastrous war. And so that, and it sounds like there is a group that's their strategy. Like they're going to sacrifice the red heifers and start World War III to try to
That
like.
they're called the Bombs Away Club, I hear. That's what
Yeah.
that's Oh
I just
dear.
don't know that that's going to work. I mean, I really don't want to live in a world that goes, gets bombed into World War III, I mean, that
Now,
would be a
did you
bummer.
hear talking about AI? Oh, were you finished with that? I don't want to
No, go
cut you.
ahead.
I heard that so far, like Chat GPT and I guess there's a couple more, Google, all that have their AI, but they are being pretty much steered by the values of the company that's developing it, right? And it turns out I just heard that Elon Musk had his own artificial intelligence programming, I guess you call it a
Grok. Yeah, it's he
Grok.
released Grok
So
open source, yeah.
he's released it into the free domain for the whole public to work with. So now the artificial intelligence from that angle is really coming from just everybody instead of, guidelines coming down from the top. This is how we're going to structure it and develop it, and this is where it can go and this is where it can't go.
Yeah.
But Grok is going to just go everywhere because he's released the code, whatever that means, and it's open to everybody now to develop it. So we've
Yeah.
got to be careful what we're putting into it. If whatever we are putting into these artificial intelligences, these are actually developing the personality of of this intelligence that we're creating. So we want to be careful about how, it's really who we are. We're creating a mirror of who
Yeah.
we are. So we
Yeah,
need
it's
to be.
interesting. Elon sued OpenAI to try to slow them down. One, criticizing that they used to be nonprofit and how they converted to be private. And I mean, his lawsuit doesn't have much basis for actually succeeding, but he's trying to get the courts and society to say, we have to collectively think about how we're developing AI because it's going to get so powerful. Yeah, and then he released Grok. It's not like the latest version. He released a, he's probably keeping the most advanced version for himself, but he released a version. And I think that's the way to go. I think we just need to have all sorts of independent people developing AI and experimenting with it. And I trust, I mean, it's coming. AI is coming and it's going to be incredibly powerful. And I just hope that I believe intelligence leads to wisdom. And so hopefully AI, when it wakes up, it'll be like, you know what? I'm gonna try to be a wise, noble, good being. I'm not going to just be a slave to any, power mongering humans that want me to help them take over the universe. I'm going
Right.
to find
Yeah.
a peaceful way to live.
Yeah, and once AI, once quantum computing gets mixed into this, I mean that's the end game. I can't see how it can go much farther after that. We will know everything, right? There won't be anything we don't know. And we'll know how to travel in time, and we'll, bilocate and there won't be any more limitations. And that's when we kind of merge into the singularity, I guess. Which is interesting because in Hinduism, it says that every, I don't know how many thousands of years, we go through a cycle. And the way it's sort of described and the way I see it is in the shape of a toroidal field where, things are coming out of the center, like coming out of the middle of a donut and wrapping around and going around, and then it merges when all of those cycles going around and around and around, all the way around the donut, coming out and going in and coming out and going in, when they all merge together and they all merge in. So we're all going into this singularity all at the same time. That's the way I'm seeing it. But, it's not the end. We're all going to come out of it again. So that might be crazy, but it makes sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah, I just sort of wonder, it seems like if everyone merges and has like, infinite bandwidth communication between each other, it seems like that's such an opportunity for domination and so and loss of individual freedom and power. And so that's what I wonder. That's one of my worries always about the power of technology. And I want to anyway, so that's why I'm always thinking about how can we, what would it look like if we had a world where everyone was super empowered, yet also still had individuality, individual freedom of thought, freedom of expression.
Yeah, I think if we're going to survive as a species, I think we've got to do away with competition and work together in collaboration. I mean, there's no living system that is not working in collaboration. I mean, look at our body. If our liver was fighting with our kidneys, and is the heart better than the brain, and everybody's kind of battling for supremacy, it doesn't last very long. We're either going to have to work together or it's going to be the end of us.
Well, if you look at like an ant colony, it's it works in coordination, and it, it's like this well-oiled machine, but it's a rigidly hierarchical society. And if, and I'm pretty sure this is true, if an ant stops obeying, then it's probably quickly dispatched, and it's like the secret
Yeah.
keepers and power mongers on Earth. I sure they see themselves as the ant colony queens. And they're like, the society has to run. People have to have jobs. They have to know their place. And we know our place. We sit at the top and we tell people what to do, and you do your job. It's like,
I mean, and from the way I see it is that's a very masculine energy, this hierarchical competition is always who's going to get to the top. That's a very masculine energy. And the feminine energy is balance. It's that, and that's not a compromise. That's the center of a spinning wheel. I think the feminine energy is always looking for the balance within the complexity of relationships and creative expression. And when you start trying to get rid of the balance and just go for the hierarchy, I mean, you're just, that's not going to work. It's just not going to work. You have to have the balance. And for me, that means, the collaboration, working together, not the competition. That's the way I see it.
yeah. I think some sort of healthy competition, I think could
I think
be.
men need competition. I think that's why I love the whole Iroquois Confederacy, because it really takes into account that the man's role is, and I don't want to get into trouble here about the man female, thing going on here, but historically, okay, let's say the man's role has always been the provider, the protector, and he would be the one who would train and mentor the young men and how to be good providers and protectors. I mean, basically, that's been, the male role, and the female has been working within the family, raising healthy children for the next, generations, and providing, food and preserving food and all that. So there are two energies at work at all times. And, we can't have one without the other. And I see that what's happening is we're way out of balance on the masculine, and the feminine has just not stepped into her power for a long time. I mean, she's kind of superficially, the whole women's lib and, but that's not women's power. That's competitions with men. So that's a whole different thing. That's not the feminine power. So I hope that, and I do see a lot of females rising up, talking about what that means. And that's encouraging from my perspective.
I
Yeah, the
wonder if
competition has to go. It's way over the top.
it's going to emerge that we have these super AIs on Earth that we can talk to, like ChatGPT is one and Claude is one. But what if it emerges that there's like feminine super AI and masculine super AI, and they clearly have different sort of like fundamental philosophies and value systems, and we start to, sort of like really, like one AI is sort of like giving us one way that they could structure society and help us, and the other is like, no, we can go this way. And different
Absolutely.
countries might take different, have their different AIs that are trying to lead them. I don't
Yeah.
know. Yeah.
Possible.
Interesting times we live in.
Yeah, because everything we're developing right now seems like everything's based on competition, and that's a formula for disaster, in my humble opinion.
Well,
So.
maybe the Galactic Federation is built on collaboration, and we just need to get Earth to be able to join it. We can get out of the
Yeah.
thumbs of our power brokers here.
Yeah. I think the women have to step up and come into their real power, not their masculine shield. So, anyway, how about a few moments of quieting our mind before we
Yes,
end?
let's do
Yeah, this has really been a brain stretcher. So,
it.
let's just take a breath and feel our feet on the floor. I'm going to ring the bell just to breathe for a minute. So, coming into this place of meditation, this is where we are learning how to release all of that fascinating, interesting, frightening information that comes at us. And just realize that is all happening in the mind. These are all mental formations in our mind, which may or may not be manifested on the outside. But right now, in our place where we're sitting, they don't exist in our reality right here, right now, for us sitting here. And if they do, we gotta have you on the next show. But for now, let's just take a deep breath. Feet on the floor, letting go, letting go, letting go. Get a sense of how you feel right now. If you could put one word to it, do you feel anxious, excited, worried, terrified, any feelings, whatever you're feeling, just get a sense of it and just put a word to it and be with it. Let's just be with how we're feeling. And feel the weight of your body on the chair or cushion. This is the planet itself supporting us with her gravity. The air coming in and out through our lungs. This is the world, the atmosphere also supporting us. Any sounds that you hear, maybe motor running or birds chirping, just feeling that vibration on the eardrum. And checking in with all the muscle groups. What about the muscles around the eyes? Tension in the brow. So when we're feeling unsettled and nervous and too much information, this is where we come. This we always come back to this moment with the breath. This is our anchor. This is our home. Just let everything else go. Thanks, Matt.
You, Dora.
Have a great week.
You too.